Season's greetings, everybody. Welcome back to Bloody Bizarre.
My name's Emma.
I'm Sarah. Did you want to apologise for your outburst last week?
No. Although that could result in further criticism. Mm-hmm. I was hurt. And hurt people hurt people.
Hurt people hurt people.
Sarah and I have been out doing some Christmas shopping this morning. All day I felt like Sarah's been angry. So listeners, you tell me if that comes through in
which
her.
Which is really interesting because I haven't felt angry at all. But I am tired, so maybe I'm just not as bubbly as I usually am.
You tell us, listeners, does Sarah seem fucking angry, pissed off, bitch?
You can tell me at the end if I'm giving off bad vibes.
We're both a little tired, Sarah, because of children, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But look, we've had a bit of a day, so we're probably both not as bubbly.
Emma's been carted twice.
Yeah, wait. Carted, yeah. So
it took three times, actually, before you were able to get these drinks.
So before I left, we were doing Christmas shopping today. Before I left the house, I was like, will I need my ID? No, I'm a 32-year-old woman, and I look 32, let's be honest. So I was like, I'm not going to need it. So I went to the first bottle shop, liquor store, trying to buy a bottle of champagne and a bottle of Bellini. Asked for ID, I don't have it. They're like, yeah, we can't sell it to you. And I was like, what the fuck? We went to a second shop. The guy was a complete klutz.
That's really mean.
He was an idiot.
He was an idiot.
So we then went to a different place.
Poor boy, he was confused.
Then we went to a third place and the guy behind the counter was like, you're 18. You're above 18, aren't you? And I was like, what the fuck? I haven't been carded in like 10 years, legitimately.
You must be giving off youthful vibes today. And when you asked him, he was just like, oh, you never know.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, I said to him, I'm 32. This is the second time I've been asked today. And I was like, what is it about me? I was like, it's not that I look young or something like that. And he was like, oh, you never know. You've got to ask. And like, anyway.
Must be nice. You know, I can't relate. They take one look at me and they're like, yep.
Yeah. They go, these for your grandkids?
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, that was unimportant.
We updated the Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody follows us over there. I need to post the story of the our listeners that went to Wycliffe Well.
Didn't you do that last time?
No, I forgot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's not a big deal. What I say to Abby is this a big problem or a little problem?
This is a big problem.
It's really not. A big problem is something that you can't fix.
Well, we can't really. We probably lost listeners as a result.
I doubt it.
I certainly get annoyed when I'm listening to a podcast and they go, head over to our Instagram to see what we're talking about. And I head over there and it's not there. I'm like, for fuck's sake.
What of it?
Well, one of us is trying to hold up this podcast and it's not Sarah, I'll tell you that much. We might be able to drop one more before the holidays, before the new year.
Hopefully.
Because I go away over Christmas.
Yeah, we should try. Should we get into it?
Yeah, I think we should get into it, to be honest.
I think today's one is going to be pretty long.
Good.
Potentially. I'm going to tell you about a missing person case. This is a missing child out of America.
Love to hear it.
Love to hear it?
No.
Choice of words. Oh, I did want to say congratulations to our listener, Sheila, who is my friend Ash's sister, because she just had a baby.
Oh, congratulations, Sheila.
Mm-hmm. And Sheila is the one who, she gives me a lot of ideas of different ones we can do.
Yeah, I think she also was defending my honour.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, yeah. She messaged me and was like, Emma's fine. Like, tell her not to worry.
Yeah. Look, guys, also, we're recording at my house today and the big boy Clifford's here again, and it is like 35 degrees or some shit, and so he is panting a storm.
I think it's actually hotter.
What is it?
Well, anytime it says it's 35 in Perth, it's usually like 37 here.
Yeah.
And it's only the beginning. Summer has only just started.
Fucking so sick of it already.
We've got a good 4 or 5 months left of this.
But so anyway, that's to say that Clifford he overheats in winter, so he's like, yeah. He's panting up a storm down there.
Yeah, that's all right. People like the dog noises, I think.
I think you believe that our listeners will put up with a lot. And I believe they shouldn't have to. Sarah's really not bringing the energy today.
I'm really not. I'm sorry. I'm so flat. Like, I'm not giving you anything to work off.
Drink more of your wine,
you know,
I guess.
You know, like, how they're like, people are yes and?
Yeah, you're no butting.
Yeah. I mean, look, we do good episodes and we do shit episodes. That's...
Our listeners should not have to deal with pure shit being released.
Okay. I'm going to tell you about a missing person case.
Sorry about Sarah's personality today. I don't know what to do about it. I've tried.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what I can do aside from get some sleep. Really always better if I've had a few drinks, like, before we start, so that I'm, like, you know.
Well, down that.
No, I can't because I have to drive.
All right, kick off.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you about a missing person case today. This is a missing child out of America.
Mm-hmm.
This happened in 2011, so Ooh. He's not a child anymore, but still missing.
Relatively recently.
A recent kind of one, yeah. Okay, so my sources are Wikipedia, obviously. Dailymail.co.uk article by Luke Kenton, a ChicagoMag.com article by Brian Smith, and I used that one heavily.
Okay.
Vanished, episode one on Tubi.
Is this out of Chicago?
It is. No, out of Illinois.
Okay.
But not Chicago.
Okay.
Okay, so on May 11th, 2011, 6-year-old Timothy Pitson was dropped off at kindergarten by his father, James Pitson, at 7:45 a.m. Less than an hour later, his mum, Amy Joan Marie Fry Pitson,
Jesus,
yeah, picked him up, citing a non-existent family emergency. Timothy has not been seen since by his father or the rest of his family.
Hmm.
Have you heard of this one, Timothy Pitson?
No.
Okay. There's some interesting things about this one.
Okay.
So Timothy Pitson was born in Aurora, Illinois in 2004. He was the only child of James and Amy. James, I'm going to refer to as Jim throughout because that's how other people refer to him.
Was Aurora where that movie shooting was? The Dark Knight movie shooting?
I don't know.
Do you want me to Google it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there has been a shooting there because there's been shootings everywhere.
Oh, sorry. Is Aurora, Colorado? Where that one was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was Aurora.
Okay. So Timothy's dad described him as super smart, high energy, and funny. Although Timothy was...
Sorry. How old was he? Pardon. Sorry to interrupt.
Six.
Okay.
At the time that he went missing, he was 6 years old.
Okay.
So over in America, I think that's kindergarten.
Right.
Although Timothy was, by all accounts, a happy and healthy little boy, James and Amy's relationship was far from happy.
Mm-hmm.
The pair met in 2002 at a going away party for Amy, which one of Jim's friends brought him along to. These guys hit it off and Jim asked her out the day after the party. They dated for a bit and after Amy moved to a different state, started a long distance relationship with Jim making the drive to see her every few weeks.
Do you know how, like, what states they were in?
Nah, okay. It was there, but... The pair were married in 2004 and it sounds like things soured fairly quickly.
Right.
The couple argued often, sometimes over little things, sometimes over things that were more significant. So in 2008, Jim found texts.
Wow.
Texts.
Yep.
Jim found messages.
Yeah, there we go.
Jim found messages on his wife's phone between her and one of her ex-husbands. So she had been married 3 times prior to this. So mm-hmm. She had a few exes.
So Jim was her fourth husband.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And he found messages with one of the exes. And
texts to the ex.
Yes. Showing off that you can say texts. And it was stuff like wanting to meet up and things like it wasn't just like innocuous, like how you been kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So Jim gave his wife an ultimatum, basically choose me or choose him.
Mm.
And he basically was like, if you want to be with this guy, that's fine. But like, we're done.
Yeah.
He added that it didn't matter that Amy's family had money. He would find a way to get custody of Timothy. So this really struck a chord with Amy, particularly because she suffered mental health issues and she kind of knew, I think, in the back of her mind that in the event of a divorce, Jim probably would have gotten custody of Timothy.
If she's, like, unstable.
Yes. Yeah. If they could, and they probably would kind of paint her as...
Do you know what kind of mental health issue she has?
Yeah.
Will you get onto it? Okay,
yeah. I'll get into it, yeah.
All right. Question retracted.
So the couple ended up staying together, but Jim did warn her that if he found any more texts between... any more messages between her and her ex, they were done.
I think that I have such a low threshold for... tomfoolery in a relationship. The second I found messages to an ex, I'd be like, we're done.
Yeah, like, I think that it's probably easy saying that from the outside, though. Like,
oh, okay.
These guys were married with a kid, with a house, had sure. already sort of built this life yeah. together. Yeah. And I'm sure there was a big part of him that was like, all right, fuck this, we're done. But stepping it back a bit practically, there's probably like a little
it's
bit more to it.
It's difficult to extricate yourself from such a relationship. Yeah, I guess I'm thinking of my previous boyfriends and like the situations in which we've been in, and like it's been very immature.
And I guess also imagine that you're in love with the person too.
You don't actually
want it to end. You want to stay with them. So mental health issues was something Amy had struggled with for most of her life. Jim learned of this very early into their relationship as Amy attempted to end her life and ended up in hospital with hypothermia and a fractured vertebra. Actually, I'll say it now. We do talk about suicide extensively throughout this episode.
Okay.
We'll be talking about suicide quite a bit towards the end of this episode. So if that's not something you feel up to listening to, just like, you know,
skip this one.
Skip it, yeah. I listened to an interesting thing recently. They did a bit of research about trigger warnings and they were saying that they're basically useless.
Yeah, I've thought this before. Like, even mentioning it makes you think about it. So
yes, that's basically what they said. They were saying that it didn't particularly, like, protect people, but it did cause an initial anxiety, people's anxiety to go up at the mention of it.
Yeah.
But I still feel like that...
there's an obligation.
Yeah, exactly. I still feel like just like a heads up.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm still going to use them. But they were saying, basically the crux of it was like, don't use trigger warnings for every little fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know, if it's something particularly heavy like suicide or an eating disorder or those kind of things, then just mention it. But they were like having too many trigger warnings for just every little thing is not particularly helpful.
Yeah.
All of that is to say, we're going to be talking about suicide a fair bit with this case. So this was actually the second time Amy had attempted to kill herself, the first time being before she'd met Jim. So when Jim spoke to Amy during her hospitalization, she told him basically like, oh, I'm all better now. She was like, they've changed her meds around, so she was all good. Don't worry about it. It's fine. I'm all good now. They've fixed me. Amy was on a few different medications, including escitalopram, which is Lexapro, lorazepam, which is Ativan, and bupropion, which is Wellbutrin. So these medications did keep her mental health issues managed fairly well, but according to Jim, she didn't always take them.
Mm.
And so this caused some pretty big issues. So Jim says that when she wasn't taking her medication, she would become a different person with pronounced emotional highs and lows. And he said that initially he would say something. He'd be like, have you taken your medication? Like that kind of thing. And then she would get really angry and be like, don't ask me, I don't want to talk about it. And so he learned to kind of just not even broach the subject and not kind of not go there.
Did she have bipolar disorder?
It doesn't say she had bipolar. It says depression.
But he's talking about pronounced highs and lows.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't say that she had bipolar.
Okay. I guess, like, if someone is in a really depressed state, even their regular state can seem like a high.
Mm-hmm. And if they're taking their medication ad hoc as well.
Particularly those medications like the escitalopram,
Ativan is a sleeping pill.
Yeah, okay.
I know that there's one of them.
It's not escitalopram, we know that much.
Yeah, no. It's our old friend Lexapro.
Yeah.
No, there's one of them, it's either the lorazepam or the Wellbutrin, that you're not meant to be on for a long period of time.
Right, okay.
Anyway, she was on this kind of cocktail of medications, but they did work when she took them. But apparently she wouldn't always take them, which was an issue.
Which is a common issue.
Yeah. And we don't know why she didn't take them either. There could have been, she could have had a bunch of side effects, you know. Her sister, Cara, has said that she believes Amy spent her whole life trying to find something that would make her happy. So it seems like mental health issues have been an issue for her for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like an issue for their family. So Cara hasn't spoken about it much, but she did kind of insinuate that their home life had been, you know, there'd been issues when they were kids. So whether that be a job, a religion, so she became a Mormon after being introduced to it from her first husband, or moving to a new place. In the end, nothing really did make her happy until she became a mother. Initially, Amy didn't want children as she was very mindful of passing on her mental health issues. And because Jim had survived Hodgkin's lymphoma when he was in his early 20s and he'd gone through chemo for that, they both didn't think that he could have kids.
Mm.
So it was kind of like they didn't want kids, she didn't want kids, and then they're like, well, it's a moot point anyway. It's a moot point anyway. We don't have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But about after a year of them dating, Amy fell pregnant. And they both were really happy. And they kind of were like, well,
it's a miracle. It's
meant to be. Yeah, it's meant to be. This is, you know.
Was he religious?
No.
Okay.
She was really. She had been introduced to Mormonism from that first husband. And I believe she stuck with it. But he wasn't.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know how that works. Because I thought that Mormons had to marry within the faith. But I don't have any fucking idea about.
Who knows with those guys?
Any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So. Cara says that as soon as Timothy was born, it was like Amy's life had found meaning.
Mm.
She adored Timothy, and family described him as the apple of her eye. For a while, Amy appeared to be really, really happy when Timothy was young. Jim remembers that Timothy adored his mum as well, saying they were inseparable. And Cara said that they almost had their own language. Like, they were really, really close, the two of them.
Mm-hmm. I would say that you and your girls have your own language.
I know. I was thinking that too. Yeah. I was thinking, like, the way that they can say things and I just understand them.
And you're like, oh, that's You Need to Calm Down by Taylor Swift.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And, like... I will say things to them in ways that I know that they understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, as Timothy got older and obviously less dependent on his mum, Amy's depression kicked back in. On top of this, Jim and Amy were fighting a lot. And in the weeks before Timothy went missing, they'd had a big fight about Amy going to the Bahamas with a friend and leaving Tim and Jim at home. I don't really understand this fight. I'm not going to get into it because I don't think it's important. It's definitely not relevant to the case. But apparently he had been pissed off that she'd gone on this trip with her friend and left the boys at home. I'm like...
Heaven forbid.
Yeah, like, you go, girl.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to get into it because I don't know the ins and outs. They don't talk about it much.
Okay.
Apparently they used to fight over, like, a lot of stuff, though. So, yeah. You know, that might have been one of many different issues going on, you know. Mm. Maybe she'd said no to him going on a trip earlier and then she'd taken a trip herself or something. According to Jim, when he picked her up from the airport after the trip, things were back to normal and it seems like the argument had kind of fizzled out. So he was like, okay, cool, we're back on sort of, like, even keel. Things are all right. So as far as he was concerned, the following week when Amy left work early due to being unwell, things were back to normal for them. There was nothing to be
nothing, you know, suspicious.
Weird about. Yeah. The following day, he arranged to start work late so that he could drop Timothy at school and drop Amy at work because she left her car there the day before when she'd left early. I'm assuming she'd been like, I feel too sick to drive. I'm just going to, like, you know, catch a taxi home, or Jim's going to pick me up or something. So her car had been left at work. There was a reason for that.
Yeah.
But at the time, you know, still...
Didn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jim and
That would be weird, though.
Yeah. To be so unwell that you have to... That you can't drive home. Like, I've been pretty unwell and still driven home before.
Yeah. I mean, like...
I've crawled into the house once I've gotten home, but, like...
Yeah.
It to be so unwell that you can't even drive.
That seems
And then like, to be yeah. back at work the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know. Americans are weird with their work ethic. Like, they just won't, you know, don't take sick days and stuff. Maybe she wasn't allowed to take the next day off. I don't know how things work over there. You guys tell me.
American listeners, is that something you'd do? Chime in.
Yeah, because I tell you, if I was so sick that I couldn't drive home, I would be taking the next day off.
Yeah. It's also like just the inconvenience and having to think about that when you're sick.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, I'll just drive home.
I'll just drive. I'll be fine.
If I have to pull over to vom, I'll do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not something I haven't done before.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
I've driven home before with like a bag in the car and had to pull over, spew into the bag and then kept driving.
I'm just, you know, reminded of like a few weeks ago when we were in our sicknesses and...
Yeah. And we did go to work, actually.
Yeah,
like,
we did.
But that was, like, after 2 weeks when we were still fucking sick.
But then we did also still drive our cars home.
Yeah, and we did feel awful.
Yeah.
And we were driving along, being like, how are you feeling? Not good. How are you feeling? Not good.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. So we come for the American work ethic.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Okay, so anyway. Jim and Amy dropped Timothy off, and then Jim dropped Amy at work.
Yep.
He recalls they kissed, said, I love you. You know, he watched her walk into work. No dramas, nothing weird. It was a half day at kindergarten that day, which a lot of kindies here do that as well, where it's, so some kindies will do 2 days 1 week, 3 days the next.
Mm-hmm.
Some will do 2.5 days every week.
Okay.
That kind of thing. Just a thing that I think a lot of kindies do. So it was a half day at kindy. So at 10:30, he returned to the school to pick Timothy up. When he arrived, school staff were confused and advised Jim that Timothy had already been picked up. The school notified him that Amy had picked Timothy up at 8:15 a.m.
Mm.
So really, as soon as Jim had left, or as soon as she'd like gone into work, she'd gone straight back out.
Yeah.
And she had told the school that there'd been a family emergency.
Now, in your situation...
Mm-hmm.
Like with you and your kids and your husband,
mm.
if he were to drop one of the girls off at, like, let's say, kindy.
Yeah.
And then you were to then immediately pick that child back up.
Yeah.
Would Greg get an... Would there an announcement or something?
Yeah, I don't know because she hasn't started yet. So yeah. I don't know exactly. I don't know if, like, everyone gets notified or something.
Yeah.
So with daycare, yes, it does notify both parents when...
When a kid
is signed out.
Yeah.
But daycare is a bit more strict. So yeah. I don't know. Daycare, it's like a full like app on your phone because you have to sign in, sign out.
Yeah.
Schools, I think it's just because they're picking kids up, you know.
And like kids will walk home and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a bit older.
And particularly because it's the mum, it's the parent.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, I feel like if it was the dad that had done it, potentially there may have been more alarms raised.
Yeah. But because it's the mum and she would usually pick him up and drop him off, I'm sure there wasn't and there would be no need for them to be because they'd be like, she's his legal guardian.
Yeah.
The school can't stop her from picking him up.
Yeah.
So there'd be nothing. And you look at the CCTV of this, nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Timothy waltzes out, grabs her hand, all happy, you know, there's nothing going on. She's just said, oh, look, we've had a family emergency. I need to actually sign.
Which I'm sure happened all the time too. Yeah. Like it's, you know.
Yeah. So Jim obviously called Amy immediately, but she wasn't answering. He was pretty pissed off. He left several messages, been like, what is happening? Tell me what's up. Mm.
What's the family emergency
that
I need to know about?
Yeah.
Is it my side of the family?
But he got no response. Now, it wasn't completely out of character for Amy to take off. She had gone off before after arguments or if she was feeling overwhelmed. But it was unusual that she'd taken Timothy with her this time.
Mm.
And also... Jim thought that things were back to normal. So he was a bit like...
There's been no impetus for this. Yeah. So let me just get the timeline down. So she goes to the Bahamas with her girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He picks her up from the airport. So they have the fight. They're having a fight about this trip. She goes anyway. She gets back. He picks her up. Everything seems normal.
Yeah.
The next day she goes to work but leaves early because she's sick.
No. A week later.
Sorry. Okay. So a week later she goes to work, comes home because she's sick,
mm-hmm.
leaves her car there. Next day goes back in, picks him up immediately. Jim tries to pick him up midday. Not there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then Jim goes back to work, but he's obviously still... concerned.
Yeah.
Not panicked, but, you know, concerned.
Yeah.
He's intermittently trying to call Amy, message her. He's not getting any response. Obviously worried, but, you know, keeping it together. After not getting a response from Amy all day, he starts calling around. So one of the first calls he made was to Amy's sister, Cara. Cara hasn't heard from Amy, but reassured Jim that she was probably fine. Cara did, however, think back to a few days earlier when Amy had called her. She said that Amy had obviously wanted to talk, but that she'd been in a hurry and didn't want to get into anything heavy there and then, so she kind of rushed her off the phone.
Mm.
And she also was like, Amy doesn't usually ask for help or reach out like that. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah, so the fact that she had done.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I bet she feels awful. And hindsight is 20/20.
Mm. So when Jim got home, he realised that Amy hadn't taken her medication with her. And it looked like she hadn't taken her medication in a few days. Mm. So he said there was, like, full bottles that hadn't been opened.
Yeah.
That night, when Amy and Timothy hadn't returned home, he contacted the police. The police said he needed to give Amy a bit more time to return and basically said, if she's not back tomorrow, call us again. Which I think people make a big deal about, but I kind of get it. We don't, like, we don't know what was said on the phone call. He could have been like, look, my wife has taken off with my son. She has done this before when she's been upset, but I'm just getting worried because they're not home yet. Like, that kind of thing. It could have been very casual, the way that he said it to them.
But also, isn't it like you can't file a missing persons report before 24 hours has passed?
No, I don't know if that's actually
true.
It's
probably state by state too.
Yeah, but so I can see why they maybe were like, just give it until tomorrow.
It's also, there's lower stakes when the mum is the one that's done the taking.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm sure they said, do you have any reason to think that she would harm him? Or,
yeah.
And I'm sure he said, no, she would never harm him or, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. People do make a big deal of that and are like, you know, every minute counts with missing children, which is true. But I can see why in this situation maybe there wasn't as much alarm bells going off.
Yeah, he hasn't wandered off on his own.
Yeah.
He's with a caregiver.
Yes, his primary caregiver.
His primary caregiver, yeah.
So the next day, two police officers met with Jim at his work and a missing persons report was made. On the Friday afternoon, Amy finally reached out by calling her mum. Mm. So remember, they went missing on the Wednesday. She didn't contact anyone until the Friday.
Okay.
She said everything was fine, Timothy was fine, and that she had just been upset and needed some time alone. Strangely, Amy then called Jim's brother, Chuck. Chuck even spoke to his nephew briefly. So he spoke to Timothy.
Okay. Yep.
Chuck told Amy that she needed to call Jim and that he had a right to know where his son was. And Amy responded, Timothy's my son and I can do what I want. As soon as the call ended, Chuck called Jim, obviously,
yeah.
Who then tried to call Amy with no response.
Yeah.
Apparently, they later found that Amy had tried to call Jim at least once, but the call hadn't gone through. And so they think that's why she might have called Chuck.
Okay. But weird of her to then be like, I don't have to do shit or whatever. Like, she wouldn't just be like, well, I did try and he didn't pick up.
Yeah. Again, I don't know what the conversation was and how, like, how heated it was or like, you know, the kind of attitude that was coming across. I'm not sure.
Smart of Chucky boy to speak to the nephew though.
Yeah, well, I suppose like if there's nothing weird going on, it'd be like, you know, anytime I talk to you on the phone, how the girl's like, Emma, I want to talk to Emma. Like,
yeah.
So the next day, the Saturday, two police officers arrived at Jim's house and advised him that Amy had been found dead from suicide in a motel in Rockford.
Whoa.
She had cut her wrists and her neck, as well as taking some sleeping medication. Obviously, one of Jim's first questions was, where's Tim?
Mm.
But the police didn't know.
Mm.
He was not with Amy. He was not found there. There was no sign of him. In the coming days, police pieced together Amy and Timothy's last few days from CCTV, phone records, and iPass records. I don't know what iPass records are. I meant to look that up.
It's like toll badge.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. So when they pass through a toll, the iPass like automatically pays for them, that kind of thing.
Okay. That's smart. Amy had picked Timothy up at 8:15 a.m. that morning, as we said.
On the Wednesday.
Yeah. In the CCTV footage, nothing seems amiss. Timothy looks happy holding his mum's hand as they leave the school. She kind of, you can see her like going like this and he kind of runs out, grabs her hand.
Sarah's extending her hand.
Yeah, it's all, you know. It's all very normal.
Yeah.
From there, they went to a mechanic in LaGrange. Mm-hmm. Seemingly, Amy was getting her car ready for what was going to be a long road trip. While the car was getting fixed up, Amy and Timothy went to the Brookfield Zoo, which wasn't far and was one of Timothy's favourite places. After the zoo, the pair set off about an hour and a half north to Key Lime Cove Water Resort in Gurnee, where they also spent the night. So they went to this really fun, like, water park, like an adventure world
kind I'm still listening. I'm just looking up where Aurora is in relation to Illinois. Like,
yeah, and you can look up these locations.
So it's literally, like, just on the outskirts of the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, but then they went to Key Lime Cove Water Resort in Gurnee.
Yeah. Oh, yep, got that. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so that's, so North Chicago.
The next day.
Above Evanston.
The next day, on the Thursday, they went to Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Wells.
Okay, so even further. So she's heading north. I'm guessing Wisconsin Dells?
Wells.
Okay.
Or is it Dells?
Well, there's a place called Wisconsin Dells.
Okay, maybe it's that.
And that would be, like, if they're heading north, that is north from, like, Rockford and all those sorts of places. Okay,
maybe it's that. They stopped along the way to get snacks, drinks, and some toys and clothes and a little craft kit for Timothy. So she bought him some little, like, toys playthings and trinkets and extra clothes.
Okay.
Which I think is an important thing to note.
Yeah.
Based on, like, kind of where this goes.
And did you mention what month this was in?
May.
Okay. So not too cold, not too warm, heading into warmer weather, but you still, you know, temperate.
The next morning, the Friday, the pair check out of the resort and they're seen together for the last time on CCTV footage waiting in line. So they're waiting in the line to check out. Timothy looks relaxed. He's checking in his mum's backpack, the backpack that his mum's holding, which is his backpack. There's nothing unusual or noticeable. He's kind of like fidgeting a bit, looks a bit bored, looks in the backpack, you know, not distressed at all. She's just standing there normally, nothing weird going on. After this, they know that Amy drove south and then west before stopping and calling family at around 12:30. And they think she just pulled over to the side of the road. And this is when she called those family members.
Chuck and Mum.
Yes, because this is the Friday.
Okay.
Timothy was obviously still with her then because he spoke to Chuck and other family heard him in the background. Apparently at one point he said he was hungry. Mm. Like, people could hear him there.
Chattering.
Yes. Yeah. So they know he was there. They know he was okay because he didn't seem distressed or
upset. He wasn't
upset.
Like, help me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
People were reassured that he was okay. He was acting normal.
Yeah, and like, and so, again, putting myself in this situation, if you went off the deep end.
If I went missing with one of the girls.
And, and your husband had called us all and called me and been like, you seen Sarah? This is crazy. And then you, like, had called Greg's sister and she'd been like, I heard the girls in the background.
Mm.
I'd be like,
then they must be fine.
Yeah, that's something. And, you know, Sarah said she just needed to take some time. I'm like, okay, all right. And she's called. Maybe she's going to return in the next couple of days. Like,
that's pretty much, I think, how the family felt. They were reassured. They were like, all right, she just needed to decompress.
Yeah.
Tim's with her. He's okay. She's all right.
She's had an episode, a depressive episode. She's done something a little irrational and impulsive, but she's, like, obviously...
They're all okay.
They're all okay, and she's made this call, so she's obviously, you know, coming back down or whatever.
So immediately after making those calls, Amy switched her phone off and drove to Sterling, Illinois. All the articles I've read say it's a small manufacturing town surrounded by farmland, but when I looked it up, it kind of looked like a city.
Let me have a look. Yeah. So I think it's worth knowing that, like, there's so much farmland in Illinois.
Yeah.
And so, like, even something that looks like
a city in the pictures.
Yeah.
It could just be, like, a little bit of a city.
Satellite city.
Okay.
Like, even where I was in Normal, massive university town.
Yeah.
But you go, like, 15 minutes outside and it's just cornfields.
Okay. Well, it sounds like this is kind of where what was going on with this place.
Mm.
So her family and friends say that Amy had no link to Sterling and they have no idea why she would have gone there. But police were able to find out that she had been there twice in the months leading up to this disappearance.
Mm.
She hadn't told anyone she'd gone there, and this was the first any of them had heard of it. So she had been there a couple of times, and they don't know why.
And just depression.
Yeah.
Okay.
After this, nobody is sure where Amy went or what she did or where Timothy was, but at around 8 p.m., she was captured again on CCTV at Sullivan's Foods in Rockford, where she bought stationery and envelopes, which she later used to write notes to her family. Timothy was not with her, so she was by herself at this point.
Captured on CCTV footage in the shop?
Yeah.
But I'm guessing they don't know that he wasn't in the car?
They don't know that, no.
Yeah, but he wasn't. They can't confirm that he was with her. Yeah, okay.
He wasn't with her.
That they know of.
Around 11:15 p.m., she checked into the Rockford Motel alone.
Okay. And yeah, and you'd think so, even if he was, like, sleeping in the car and she'd just been like, oh, I'll leave him, go and grab the stuff, he would have gone, she would have been...
By the time she got to the motel, she would have...
And she wouldn't have left him in the car sleeping. Like, yep. Yeah, okay, yeah.
So this was the last time she was seen alive.
Okay.
She was found by a maid the following day at 12:30 p.m.
I was reading up on... Sorry to interrupt. It's relevant.
Yeah.
Are you laughing because I'm interrupting a lot?
I was laughing because you got told off for interrupting, yeah. And so now you're very, like, conscious of it.
I thought so. I figured as much. I was reading up on how common it is for people to kill themselves in hotels because they don't want their family to find them.
Yes.
But they've got no connection to the, like, cleaning staff. But, yeah. Like,
it's also, it's not their home.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. So, sorry, slightly graphic details here. She was in bed and under the covers the police found the box cutter that she'd used to kill herself. So she had slashed her throat and her wrists. They also found, like, a little bit of cough medicine, sleeping stuff that she'd taken. And they found, apparently in America they have child identification cards.
Okay.
Which I don't know what that is, but... it's a thing. So she had Timothy's card as well. So I don't know. Maybe she was, that's like the last thing she was looking at or something like that. Importantly, only Amy's blood was found on the box cutter. So nobody else's blood. One of Amy's notes was to the motel staff apologizing for the mess they'd have to clean up. Really sad.
That's sad.
So the fact that none of Timothy's belongings were found in the room, except for that little child ID thing, that gave police, friends and family hope that Timothy was still alive somewhere. Because it was, she bought all this stuff for him, all of these clothes, all that kind of stuff. So they were like, it must still be with him somewhere, you know. Police did find Timothy's blood in the back of Amy's car, but the family explained that Timothy had had a bad nosebleed in the car prior to him going missing, so the police believe the blood was probably from that.
So there's an episode of... Sorry to bring this up again. There's an episode of Law & Order SVU where a child is abducted and they find blood in the car where the kid was abducted, and they were able to find nasothelial cells to confirm that it was nosebleed blood.
Okay.
I'm guessing that's just like TV magic.
I don't know. I have no idea. It'd be great if they could. This was also 2011, so I don't know if maybe that's like a new technology.
And maybe if it's an old nosebleed, it's like, no, it's not fresh enough to find that shit.
That's it. This was a nosebleed that had happened some weeks before.
Yeah, okay.
You
ever had nosebleed?
Not like the random one? Yeah. No, I've had a nosebleed after Chili headbutted me.
Abuse from your child.
Yeah. Amy also left notes for her family. One of the notes, and this is the one that kind of goes along with this story, you know, when this case gets reported on, people usually emphasize this bit. She left a note basically saying, Timothy is fine, but you will never find him. She said that she had given him to some people to care for. They've never made the notes public. That's like, nobody knows what's fully in the notes, but that is one of the things that she said. You will never find him. A few leads have come through over the years, including one hoax, but nothing solid. So the hoax... it was really sad. In 2019, there was this, I say boy, but like I saw the photo, it's a man. He was picked up by some people.
Would he get carded?
Probably. If you did. He was disorientated. Some people picked him up. He said that he had escaped his kidnappers and that his name was Timothy Pitson. And
I might have read this.
At that point, Timothy Pitson would have been 14.
Yeah.
They, at first, there are some similarities with the way he looks, but honestly, not really.
Yeah.
But the family really got their hopes up, obviously. They really want it to be true. Mm. And so then after doing DNA stuff, they found out it was a 23-year-old man. Mm. He was not Timothy Pitson. It was a hoax.
To what end?
Yeah. And well, he said he wished that he had a dad like Timothy's dad.
But again, like, and look, I hate to do this. There's an episode of Law & Order SVU where there's a young girl who doesn't have a family and she pretends to be a missing girl.
Yeah.
So that she has a family.
It's just like the pain that that caused. So I think it was the sister who was like, I just like had a breakdown after that.
Mm.
Because they all got, the sister said, I was like packing my things. I was like, okay, who's going to pick him up? Like, what should we do? They wrote him letters. They really thought this is it. Jim apparently was trying to keep his hopes down.
Temper them, yeah.
But of course, he was excited.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was really sad. That was 2019. They still have hope. The family think that he's alive. They all say there's no way Amy would have hurt him. There's obviously two main theories here. Either Timothy is alive and was given to someone. There's, you know, sub theories there. Or she killed him and he's been dumped somewhere where he's not been found yet. So all of the family, they don't believe that Amy would have harmed Timothy. They think that he was given to someone else to raise. Jim thinks that Timothy has either been raised like off the grid somewhere or potentially someone took him overseas. He says, it's only going to take one person to figure out that that's Tim. He says, one person is going to solve the case, say to Tim, hey, is this you? Then the cops are going to take over.
I have a question.
Yeah.
That I don't think you know the answer to, because I'm sure you would have said it if you did know.
Sure.
Is there a way to determine if the totality of what was found in her body, with regards to the sleeping pills and the cough syrup?
Yeah.
Was that the total of what was missing from the bottle?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm sure if she had had like a sip out of it and then like the bottle was empty.
Yeah.
I'm sure they would have said.
That would have mentioned. Yeah. So probably it matched what was missing.
I would assume.
Yeah.
The other theory is obviously that Timothy's dead.
Yeah.
So Timothy has been missing since May 11th, 2011. He would be in his 20s now.
Okay.
Anyone with information can contact the Aurora Police Department on 1630-256-5516 or the National Centre for Missing and Exploited Children. They have a 24-hour call centre you can reach on 1-800-843-5678.
NCMEC.
Hmm?
NCMEC.
Is that what they call it?
Aurora SVU.
Okay. So, yeah, what do you think after hearing all that?
I think I don't know Amy, right? And I think it's very possible that she did murder her son in that kind of family annihilator kind of way.
Yeah, I don't want you to live in a world without me kind of.
And or that, yes, and I don't want your bastard of a father to have you.
Yeah. Her sister's theory with why she took him was she said, I think that she didn't want him to grow up with the stigma of suicide and to have that be like a part of his family history, and so she wanted to remove him for that reason so that he would be raised by this new family. There's also a theory that it was some religious group that she gave him up to be raised by like some religious.
Yeah, because like the Mormons in particular have like thousands of kids each. Mm. And so if he were to be given to one of them, he could just blend in with a family.
Yeah.
Oh yes, this is Jedediah, our son, and he's been with us. He's been with us for the last 7 years, and you know, like,
and if they're like, you know, off the grid, like Jim
that's
says.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those Mormon communities are, and
yeah.
It's weird that she didn't like leave Illinois, really. She went to Wisconsin, but like she was stayed in that kind of area.
Well, I suppose it sounds like she'd staked it out earlier, so maybe knew somebody.
Yeah.
There's two sort of schools of thought there too, because it could be that she was scouting a location to get rid of his body, or it could be that she was meeting somebody who would later be, you know, taking care of him.
Any interviews of the friend she went to the Bahamas with?
I don't think the Bahamas was related, to be honest. Right. I think that maybe the Bahamas was like a...
Baharking up the wrong tree.
I think that she was
pretty good.
It wasn't bad. I think that she was severely depressed.
Yeah.
She was hoping that this little trip would, you know...
Raise spirits.
In the end, I think Jim maybe kind of ruined it for her because he got pissed off at her about going. And so it didn't raise her spirits. She came back just as depressed, maybe while she was on the trip, was like, that's it, I'm going to end my life.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, you can absolutely imagine expecting something's going to raise your spirits, and then when it doesn't, you're, like, so deflated.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think potentially. When it comes to what happened to Timothy, I'm so on the fence with this one. I'm like 50-50.
Yeah.
I feel like either could be true. I think if we go Occam's razor, I think she maybe killed him. Mm. That, you know, I think it's really hard to fathom that happening. Mm. If she, you know, knowing that she loved him so much, it's really hard to fathom how she could do that. But you do hear about that happening like all the time.
Yeah.
But then the other part of me is like, yeah, actually, I think it's like very plausible that she could have passed him off to somebody else to raise, just to keep him away from his family or his dad.
Yeah.
So I'm like really 50-50, and I think that regardless, there's enough of a chance that he's still out there that it's still like, it's not worth just putting this one away. It's like,
yeah,
people should still be actively looking for him. And
it's also strange that they haven't found the body yet if he was murdered.
Yeah.
Like they kind
she covered a really, she covered a lot of ground though.
Yeah, but they kind of,
and there's that, you know, from 12:30 till 8 p.m. that time frame, they don't know where she was.
Yeah.
So there's a big gap of time there.
It just feels like 2011. There should have been, more they should have been able stuff. To. Yeah, I know.
Mm. Yeah, again, she was in rural areas. She like, yeah. sort of, she went off to some rural areas.
Yep.
But
then also like those, like from what I know about Illinois, and look, I don't claim to be an expert here, but those drives in between those towns, very flat.
Mm.
There's just like I said, there's just fields.
Yeah.
There's not really places where you can like necessarily hide a body, but I haven't been like North Chicago really, so
yeah,
I don't know, maybe it's a little bit different up there as you're getting closer towards like Wisconsin and stuff.
Yeah, but
certainly around like Peoria and places like that, it's just flat as fuck.
Yeah, I don't know, I am like super on the fence with it.
Yeah.
It would be really lovely. I mean, people never expected like Casey Duggar to be found.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, 18 years later or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not like it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's happened in weirder cases.
And it's also weird that if he was given up, he was 6. He knew his name. He
yes.
knew his, like, he was verbal and whatever.
Mm.
It's weird that he wouldn't have let slip to, like, you know, fucking.
As he got older.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. You would think that he would still retain memories from being 6
and
being
dad like, and
oh well then I but I may, you know, you think I don't remember that much from when I was 6. If I had my whole life been then told a story and
your name's
like,
Jedediah,
yeah, and yeah. you know, that was your nanny, or
yeah.
you know, those people, you know, your name has never been Timothy. No, that was like, that was your cousin, or you
yeah
know,
or like if
that.
You're, let's go with like the religious angle, if you're raised in that community and you're told, if you dare say this to anyone, your like your world will be, God will smite you or whatever, you
and
know,
also
like,
if you are not getting access to like TV and,
yes
you know
yeah.
then you're not going to see, if you don't have the internet, you're not yeah. going to be able to like Google up any stuff about yourself.
It's just weird that it hasn't happened yet.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, which does kind of lend itself to
him not being alive anymore.
Yeah, but then who, yeah, like you say, who knows. But it's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Yeah,
that's it.
Okay,
that's all I got.
All right.
Post his photo from when he went missing, and they've done up like an age progression one.
Yeah.
So post that on the Instagram as well. But yeah, if you Google his name, that all comes up as well. You got any info?
Get in contact. Yeah. Not with us, with law enforcement.
Again, yeah, yeah. Do not get in touch with us. We are totally disorganized. We will not be able to help.
Clearly. Okay, good one.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you have any thoughts, get in contact with us over on the Instagram account.
Let us know what you think.
If there's anything Sarah missed, obviously.
Probably.
Yeah. Let us know.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back in a couple of weeks
mm-hmm.
with another ep.
Yeah,
haven't hopefully. Even started yet. However, I do have one that is a little silly.
Oh, love that.
In my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do like a little Christmas one.
It. Okay.
Festive.
I wouldn't call it festive. I'd call it incomprehensible.
Okay.
But anyway, thanks for listening, and thanks for your patience as well.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.